Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay. I'm here with the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you can call them in at area code 646-716-4893, or you can feel free to email me at bonk@aol.com, and we will respond to your questions that you send in by email. I want to make a couple of announcements before I announce my guest for tonight. First, for women who are getting ready for that next healing weekend, it'll be September 28th and 29th here in Philadelphia. And already some of our most dynamic women are coming back, women from Texas and from Philadelphia last year, also from New York. So I know that it's going to be an amazing weekend. We're also looking to extend the weekend an extra day for people who may want to take a trip to New York for the day, because we have people who are coming in from out of town, out of the country. So we're really excited about adding that time on for people who would like to make the weekend last even longer. So if you're interested, please write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send you any information. So without further ado, tonight I'd like to announce my very special guest, who is now our return regular guest, Kimberly Brooks. Kim, welcome back to our show.
Hi, Bonnie. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again. You were so popular on our last show, people said, well, when is she coming back? I said, she promised she's going to come back soon. And again and again. So we're counting on that.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And there's certainly always a lot to talk about when it comes to this particular topic.
There is. And I think I'd like to start off by really wishing women who are listening to this show a very happy Mother's Day, because I know that we were just in my support chat before I came online. And really, Mother's Day has a new meaning once you become a single mother and you are now forced to face so many issues that you weren't counting on. And is that something that, you know, the women who come to you discuss, Kim?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I certainly have heard and read a lot of sort of bittersweet sentiments about Mother's Day this year in particular. Because, I mean, some of them aren't necessarily, you know, operating as single moms, but just having to navigate just that whole relationship with their ex can be pretty difficult. And certainly the kids can be a reminder of the pain that they're going through.
Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of times that you go into a marriage with expectations, and when you have children, you expect to raise them as a family unit, and now all of a sudden things aren't as you expected. And I think it puts so much pressure on women a lot of times when a marriage breaks up, and now all of a sudden you're kind of out there trying to navigate your way through life as a single mom. And I think that women have a lot more issues to deal with when they're a single mom, you know, when they come from these kind of marriages, mm-hmm. than they do when they're from a straight marriage. I don't know if you found that to be the case also.
Well, you're certainly dealing with the extra added element of how the kids are adjusting to the fact that, you know, mom or dad is gay. And, you know, how that plays out in their lives, what they understand about it. So, you know, depending on how the couple is operating, it can be okay, or it can be really challenging, for sure.
Yeah, I think one of the problems I have found now, this may be me, but, you know, part of the problem also is the fact that we don't have a lot of time to adjust to this whole concept before all of a sudden either our children are told or we don't know what to do. Or, you know, the men who've been dealing with it for 25, 30 years before they're ready to come out, you know, their whole lives they've been living like this, you know, but they haven't really shared it with their wives. Now, all of a sudden, they're giving their wives like 2 minutes to adjust to this news. And all of a sudden, you have to first deal with this. And, you know, I will never say that any marriage is ever easy when it ends. I mean, even bad marriages, I say, are hard to end. But this is more than just ending of a marriage. This is now accepting sometimes, you know, a way of life that's foreign to what's comfortable for you. Do you find that with some of the women also?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, and to sort of pick up on something that you were talking about is, is you have, you know, a limited, if you're, especially if you're a mom, a limited amount of time to adjust to it because you have to keep functioning. It was interesting, last month, there were some folks that were posting pictures online of sort of life before the spouse came out. And I wrote a blog post about it because I was really moved by these pictures of life before. And so often, you know, there were kids in the pictures and, you know, there were captions like, you know, this is my husband taking our daughter to a father-daughter dance. And then, you know, he came out 2 weeks later. I mean, it's just this wham-bam kind of suddenness, this abruptness. And when you have kids, sometimes, oftentimes, you don't have the luxury of just sort of retreating to your room, you know, and crying for a month. I mean, you have to function. And I do think that makes it more difficult.
You know, it's really interesting that someone sent me something this week, and I know there's been a lot of news, you know, with the whole Jason Collins situation. We can talk a little bit about that first.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that, and then I'll tell you about the letter that I received, and I'll get your input on that. So let's talk about Jason Collins, because I know that was a big issue in the news. And I'm not quite sure. I guess because he's a pro basketball player, and there aren't too many openly out basketball players, which is why he made the news.
Right. So, yeah, so it was certainly a big deal in the sports world. And, you know, he had had a fiance, and they had dated for 8 years, and he had ended the engagement back in 2009. And so then there was, you know, I think this was, you know, again, one of those times where there's a lot of focus on it because it's a famous person. But so I think there was some light shown on her dilemma, what it was like to be, to have dedicated 8 years of her life to him. And so I think for a lot of, you know, a lot of us straights, that certainly triggered some familiar emotions.
And what was, did you hear her interview at all or read anything that she had to say?
You know, I did. I think it was a little bit different for her, although she certainly said that she felt hurt and she felt embarrassed. But she'd also had 4 years to move on from the relationship before she knew that he had been, you know, gay, a closeted gay. So, you know, and she was very gracious about it, saying that, you know, she certainly wanted him to be happy. But I think one of the things that touched me was then reading, you know, so now she's 34 and that she's freezing her eggs, kind of goes back to our whole, you know, Mother's Day conversation. She's freezing her eggs sort of just in case. And that, I don't know, you know, for me also as somebody who did not have children, that just touched my heart that so 8 years spent and now she's freezing her eggs just in case, you know, she's not able to have children. I don't know. There was just something about that. That, I mean, again, I'm glad he came out, and I agree with her. It's wonderful that he can live an authentic life, but what about her and the 8 years that she devoted, and now she's worried that she's going to be able to have children? That just hurts.
I think the part that hurts a lot is that, you know, these guys are viewed as heroes, and, you know, I think that it's a brave thing to do as far as coming out, especially in a major league sport.
Yep.
Where there's going to be so many repercussions. I wouldn't exactly necessarily call it being a hero, but, you know, I think this is how society views it, and this really kind of upsets a lot of women because women feel that, you know, this isn't very heroic, the fact that you were able to carry out a relationship for all these years and keep it a secret to the woman who invested all this time. I mean, 8 years is a long stretch of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that a lot of women were upset over the fact that he's viewed as the hero. And once again, what was she, stupid? She didn't know. And I think this is what really kind of upsets me is that, you know, somehow we're missing the boat on the whole straight wife issue. I think that somewhere along the line that our message just isn't getting out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because it's not consistent. You know, and I'm going to be writing about that in my upcoming newsletter. I feel like our message is inconsistent, and what kind of really made a very big, you know, issue to me this time, more so than lately, but there's been some incidents this year where people come out or where there's the news about the straight gay thing, and it seems that every time I get a media inquiry, you know, like, for instance, I was invited to go on that Huffington Post, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of circus, as I like to call it. And, you know, this is the second time I've been invited in the last 2 months because another issue came out a month ago. And, of course, you know, I turned it down. I referred to other people who prefer to do that. The thing is that the reason for that is because I really feel that it becomes a debate over things that really shouldn't be debatable and that everybody's trying to get in their point of view, the straight woman, the gay man, the straight wife, the non-wife who didn't have children. You know, it's like
mm-hmm.
everybody has something to say and nothing's really getting understood. And I think that a lot of times the men want to come out as victims of society, and then the women somehow just come out very unsympathetic in all of this as, you know, being women, like you couldn't tell, you didn't know, you were stupid. And I just feel like I've been feeling like a sense of really distaste over all of these panel kinds of discussions. You know, the media does things to sensationalize whatever they're doing. But I think we as straight wives have to really start putting out a different kind of message. And that I don't feel that the society is necessarily very sympathetic to us. Do you feel that way?
I do, actually. And I think that was the experience of some straight spouses that were responding on, Huffington Post would be one example, where, you know, there was a story about Carolyn Moose. And so straight spouses were commenting in the comment section. And, you know, really it seemed like people were in two camps. It seemed like a lot of folks had difficulty having compassion for both people in this. You know, they had to sort of choose sides. And there were comments like, you know, we don't care about you, and how did you not know? And, yeah, not sympathetic at all. And I think a lot of folks have a hard time just balancing. You don't have to take sides. It's not an issue that you take sides about. It's sad on his side. It's sad on her side. And I think you're right. With some of the interviews, it's set up such that it's like a debate. And it,
right,
like
exactly.
Said,
it's a tug of war of who's, you know, being victimized the most.
Exactly.
You know, it's the husband being victimized because of society, and then the wife, is she being victimized because, you know, her husband couldn't be honest? And then he's saying that every, you know, well, we're more victims than your victims, and we only victimized you because we became victims. You know, there's something, like, really wrong with this whole way of thinking.
Yeah.
And I think that until we as straight wives are really willing to unite and come up with a stance on this, there are some things that I find, you know, I try to be very, you know, like, open to my way of thinking with gay husbands, and I think I'm really understanding as far as their struggles, and believe me, I have tremendous empathy for any man who has to struggle with being gay. And I do understand why gay men get married, and I do believe in my heart that the overwhelming majority of them really love their wives when they do marry them,
mm-hmm.
and that they're looking to be straight. They don't want to be gay. But, you know, at some point, like, I have to say, hey, you know, responsibility time, like when you start acting on it, and you're bringing home sexually transmitted diseases to your wives, it's, like, really hard for me to stay sympathetic. You know, like, at what point does the sympathy end and the responsibility come in?
Right, right. No, I can see your point around that. So you can understand how people go into these marriages, but at the point where you have stopped being faithful, where you're cheating or you're meeting other men online or other women online, depending,
mm-hmm.
at that point, it's about accountability.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
that's where we're missing the boat. I'm talking about accountability. And, you know, I think everybody has their point of view and everybody's looking, you know, to be a star for 15 minutes. But I think we're really missing the boat on coming up with a unified stance on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's why there's, you know, a lack of sympathy on the part of straight wives, because, you know, we just can't get it together on this. So I think there really needs to be, like, some kind of national statement or forum or unity as far as women are concerned, as far as getting this together, because then I have some other thoughts that I'd like to know your opinion on, Kim. Once again, going back to accountability and responsibility, one of the things that, you know, I am very sympathetic about is the struggle of gay men, you know, as far as, you know, coming to terms with themselves. And, you know, I've worked with a lot of men on their own coming out issues. But I guess, you know, one of the things that bothers me is that they go into a marriage and, you know, they're trying to fight who they are you know, but I think that I've never heard a man yet say, I had no clue. I mean, I think these men know. They're trying to fight it. They're trying to deny it. They're trying to suppress it. But the bottom line is they go in with some kind of knowledge that something's not quite right. And they really do believe that by loving their wives enough, that will fix it. But it doesn't. So when it comes to, you know, the point where they're ready to leave the marriage because now they finally come to terms with themselves, and usually by the time I have found in my experience over 30 years, by the time they get to the point of telling their wives, it's usually because they've been out there and doing something,
mm-hmm.
and they're usually involved with somebody and ready to, you know, jolt. So at that point, I really feel that it's unfair for, you know, this could have to be necessarily a no-fault divorce. You know, I see that so many women have to end up paying thousands and thousands of dollars for a divorce that really there was fault. I mean, it wasn't their fault that their husbands are gay.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I see them having to take so much money from their savings or whatever they have. Some women are forced with the alimony situation. I mean, to me, that to me is the greatest, you know, hurt in the world. You're married to a gay man who's openly gay, openly dating men, and now you have to pay alimony to him. I mean, I think our divorce laws really need to change. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, certainly, I mean, you're addressing the unfairness of it. And, you know, at some point, you know, it is not a victimless issue. I mean, it isn't. And so I do understand what you're saying. And certainly having to pay alimony when you're, you know, sort of an innocent party in this does not seem fair, absolutely. But when you going back to what you were saying about, you know, having a sort of cohesive national statement, don't you think that would be difficult to do? Because, I mean, my experience is that so many of us are at different stages that the statements reflect, I think, where different people are at. I mean, you know, for me, it's been so many years, you know, I can talk about it pretty reasonably and rationally, and I'm not angry about it. If it had just happened a week ago, you know, I might respond differently. And so, I don't know, I think it would be difficult to just, you know what I mean, to have a consistent statement. Like, look like?
That's a good question. I think that maybe it could be a statement made by people who have been, you know, through this and out of it for a while, who can maybe more objectively look at the situation. But, I mean, I think that we could go in by stating that we understand that when most marriages, you know, come to fruition here, that it's done with good intentions. But, you know, when it doesn't work out, that there's certain things, just like you're saying now, that there has to be accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And that we expect that there should be responsibility. And, you know, I think that a lot of times people are trying so hard to be so politically correct in this day and age of, you know, political correctness,
mm-hmm.
that they're afraid of saying something that might offend the gay community. And, you know, like I say, I'm very pro-gay, and I challenge anybody to dispute me on that. I'm just pro-responsibility.
Right. Right.
And, you know, I had a lesbian daughter, you know, who I was very extremely supportive of. I have other gay relatives who I'm, you know, the first one to march for their rights. But I also expect that if you marry a man who's gay under the pretense that he's straight and it doesn't turn out that way, that he needs to take responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm. Which is really a different issue than his sexuality, right? So
yes, it is. But,
yeah,
you know, there are
yeah.
certain things that I think that we have to first get people on board with the fact that, you know, we weren't stupid women who married, you know, gay men, you know, knowing all along. You know, people have this preconceived notion, and I'm not quite sure why. You know, people say, well, you must have known something, or you couldn't tell. You know, so somehow I think we have to get that message out there, and that's somehow not getting out.
And I think that part of that is, you know, people that have not experienced this, and maybe those of us before we experienced it had sort of ideas of what it meant to be gay. And
mm-hmm.
so I think a lot of folks believe that, well, you had to have known because, you know, there couldn't have been any sort of sexual relationship. It couldn't have been any sort of emotional intimacy. And I think that unless you've been there, you don't understand that those things simply are not true, that you could be married for many years and in some cases have a very healthy sexual relationship. And I think the people that say, well, you had to have known, are operating on old stereotypes, that being gay looks a certain way, and it just doesn't.
Let me ask you your opinion on this. With sexuality, do you believe that, you know, it's pretty cut and dry or not?
Cut and dry as far as
homosexuality.
I do believe that. I do believe that people can, you know, for whatever reason, have sexual relationships with, you know, homosexual relationships or heterosexual relationships. But I think at the end of the day, you know, I think we're one way or the other. I really do believe that. I don't believe that bisexuality exists in very many people at all.
No, I think a lot of it is, I call it, you know, bisexuality, the road to homosexuality for men. You know, and then there are a lot of men who I believe that are, you know, I call those limbo men who are emotionally straight but physically gay.
Mm-hmm.
And they just can't mentally adapt to being, you know, part of that gay life. Not lifestyle, gay life. And, you know, because of social pressures, religious pressures, family pressures, and so that they're never going to feel comfortable, you know, living in that kind of a life, and they just want to stay in a straight life. That's where they feel their comfort level.
I came across an interesting website that kind of addresses that. It's called Empty Closets, and it is about resources for coming out. But it also, you know, in some of their articles, you know, addresses the straight spouse. And so this one article that I thought was really well written was about the stages of grief and loss and sort of looking at, you know, the denial, the acceptance, the anger of the person coming out, of the parent of that person, and of the spouse of that person. And I just thought it was pretty interesting that it seems like that the person that's coming out, you know, really has that denial and then the anger about being gay, and then the bargaining is what drives a lot of folks into getting married. Well, if I just love her enough, or, you know, if I have sex with her, then I'm hetero. You know, kind of that not wanting to be gay. And I think that's when the marriages take place. So for those of us then who are, you know, the spouses, we've got some catching up to do. But, yeah, you know, not wanting it so badly. I mean, I can remember my ex-husband, you know. We were separated, and then he took a day and went out to Epcot. We lived in Orlando. And he walked around, and he came back, and he said, you know what, I saw all these, you know, older gay couples out there, and I just realized I don't want that. And we both thought, okay, then. Right, well, then let's just get back together. And it just doesn't work that way.
No, but I think that, you know, that's part of our bargaining, you know, as a straight spouse. We're hoping that they'll go out and they'll try it and they'll see that's not what they are, because, you know, we still love these men. We don't want to break up a family. We're hoping that if they can just realize that, you know, a lot of times women who write to me, they just don't understand it's just not a sex thing. You know, when they say to me, is he willing to break up a marriage to have sex? You know, they don't understand that it's not just about the sex. But do you feel like the gay community is more sexually oriented than the straight community?
I don't know. I mean, I have thought that in the past, but I also, maybe that's the public side of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are so many couples that have been together for years and years, and I really do think that, and I may have said this before to you, is that oftentimes when a person leaves the marriage, it's because it's not for the sexual relationship, but they've met somebody that they have an emotional attachment to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really the piece, I think, that's key here.
I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah.
I think that their sexual relationship can really click once they have that emotional relationship.
Say that again.
I think their sexual relationship really clicks better once they find that emotional relationship that, you know, they weren't able to have with their wives because they're women.
And so then they have both the sexual
right.
and the emotional.
Right. The total fulfillment.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there are men who will just be happy just having indiscreet sex, you know, their whole lives. You know, they'll never come to terms with who they are. And they're never going to admit they're gay, and they'll just call themselves straight with issues.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go have indiscriminate sex, you know, much like McGreevy would used to have, or some of the political figures or some of the figures from, you know, religious backgrounds.
Right.
Who can never admit to the, you know, word gay. I mean, we've seen so much of that with some of these men who were like Ted Haggard, you know, and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Where after they went and they prayed on it, they realized that he wasn't gay after all. He was just straight with issues. And they can fix those issues through prayer.
You know, whatever works for different couples, right? I mean, I'm sure you and I both know of couples where they've decided to stay together and they make it work in whatever way works for them. You know, does that mean that the spouse is suddenly not gay? No. But do they accommodate it, or is, you know, for whatever reason, is it worth staying together? And they do.
Right, and that's true.
More power to them, you know.
Right, I think that if it works for you and you're happy with it and you've come to terms that this is what you want to live with in your life. In fact, you know, it's really funny. I was checking up on someone today on Facebook who, you know, I haven't been in touch with for a number of years. And, you know, I'm kind of new to Facebook, so I'm not quite sure what I'm doing. I'm kind of learning as I'm going along the way. But she turned up as a friend from a number of years ago when I thought I was going to use Facebook but never did. But she's still on there, and I see that she's still with her husband. And it looks like, you know, they're happy, even though she was miserable when she initially came to me. And she had actually caught her husband on Craigslist. And I think that in itself is unbelievable. Have you ever tried looking there?
Not personally, but...
No, it's really interesting. I tell all straight wives, this is what you must do.
Huh.
You must go to your, you know, your local Craigslist, because I think there's Craigslist wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, you know, I was showing it to someone this week. They have the, you know, personal ads, men, you know, seeking men.
Yeah.
And to me, I was just amazed. Even now, after all these years, I'm still amazed that men are willing to put their pictures up there of their naked body parts. This is how, you know, this woman found her husband on there. You know, she recognized him. And what can I say? You know, I guess she saw hers more than I used to see mine. But she did recognize him. And that's how she initially caught him. And I just said, this is so amazing. She was so miserable when she came to me, and yet she was so afraid to leave. And she was so afraid of not having somebody.
Yeah.
So I think there are sometimes some codependency issues or what people are willing to settle for less on one end and just be happy to be with somebody. But I just don't feel I could be happy that way. But I guess, you know, everybody makes their compromises in life or doesn't.
Yeah, and maybe it's something, you know, I mean, I'm thinking of a couple that I used to see where they had very frank discussions about, you know, what he was doing. And she thought long and hard about it and decided that, you know, at least for now, she wanted to make it work. And she was able to accommodate him having relationships outside of the marriage. And, you know, again, I mean, that is certainly... that's certainly her choice, and it's a valid choice. It's a difficult one, or I would think it would be a difficult one, not maybe one that I would make, but if it works for them.
Right, and that's what I've come to learn in life, that there are certain people that just don't want to move outside the realm of where they are,
mm-hmm.
and they may not be happy about it, but that's where they're planning to stay. And they're like, they feel their lives are more comfortable and more, you know, and they're not looking to make those kind of changes, you know, for something that's unknown. And I think a lot of times women are afraid because they know what they have, but they don't know what's out there if they move ahead.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of women feel very stuck. Do you work with women in that situation?
You feel stuck and afraid.
Yeah.
And so hanging on to what they have feels safer, at least I know what I have versus the unknown. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I think especially women who are not necessarily out there with careers or making their own money, you know, that are in pretty traditional roles or feeling financially dependent. Yeah, it can be. I think it can be pretty scary.
But on the other hand, that's what you as a therapist do, right? You're able to help women who really feel stuck to get unstuck.
Yeah. Well, and to help them, help folks make decisions for the right reasons. You know, again, if they decide to stay, you know, ideally it's because it's a well-thought-out, openly discussed decision
mm-hmm.
rather than I'm staying because I'm afraid. Yeah.
And so I think that's another important thing that people need to understand when they're going into a therapeutic relationship, because that's one of the reasons why I tell women I'm so thrilled to find Kim, because I feel that you're so effective in working with women to see what their options are and how to get there, because I've heard, you know, wonderful things about you in that regard. Well, it's true. So that's why I think when you can be effective as a therapist to get women to move to another phase, that's what this is all about when you have that therapeutic relationship. And that's another thing I wanted to talk to you about, because I've made this a big issue over the years, and maybe you could just chime in a little bit about this, that sometimes, you know, I'm really hesitant to ever recommend a therapist unless I feel totally confident in the woman or the man, and I've gotten to know them on a personal level. And that's because I feel there's a lot of poor therapists out there
mm-hmm.
that have their own agendas or their own religious beliefs, or who are not familiar with an issue, or who look at it from a point of view that I wouldn't be looking at it. And a lot of times people feel like going to a therapist is like a God relationship, that you don't have a choice, that once you go, that you have to hit it off with that person. And people linger with bad therapists for long periods of time because they're afraid to let go because of how they'll be viewed. You know, it's kind of like that doctor-patient differential
right.
there. So could you address that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was just actually having this conversation with a client the other day. Because we have, just by virtue of our positions, a certain amount of authority and a certain amount of power in the relationship that comes with being the therapist. And, you know, I take that very seriously. And certainly, you know, more so as I get older and become, you know, even a more experienced therapist, I just think it's very important, as you said, not to have our own agenda for anybody else's life. And I tell clients who see me, if I'm not the right fit, then I will help you find somebody who is. Because, you know, not everybody is going to come in and think that I'm wonderful or that it's, you know, that it's a good fit. And so some people, you know, want more direction. They want more input. Some people don't. But I do think it's important that, especially I feel it with this issue, that I feel it's sort of a blessing and a curse to be as familiar with the issue of being a straight spouse as I am.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, having lived through it, I really can be very neutral about it. And I know I was talking with somebody the other day who was trying to make a referral to me, and, you know, there was some concern that because I'm also, you know, I'm involved with the Straight Spouse Network, that maybe I would be, you know, a certain way, or because I'm involved with PFLAG, I might be another way. And, the,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the truth is that I'm neutral and it's not my life. And it's just, you know, as therapists, I mean, as you know, we're just ideally mirrored, and asking the right questions and then letting people make their own decisions.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that's the way that's a real positive therapeutic kind of relationship. But I think that people have to also realize that if it's not working, how much time would you say is a good time factor to give a relationship if you're not feeling you're moving anywhere?
I don't know. I think there's different periods. Like, I think there's an initial, you know, after the first, you know, 2-3 visits, if you don't feel like you click, then that's one time. And then I think there's another time when you've been in therapy for a while and, you know, you're not really making much movement, there's not new material, then that might be time to take a break or find somebody with a different perspective, I think.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I think there's different points in therapy where it's important to evaluate, is this a good fit? Am I, you know, am I getting what I'm paying for? Am I making changes? Is this person of value to me?
Let me ask you this question. When it comes to the children, I know that so many of our women are really struggling right now.
Yeah.
And with younger children, when their husbands have, you know, left the marriage and, first of all, they don't want the children to know about the real reasons why the marriage is split up. Or, you know, they're telling their wives, you know, that I don't want the kids to know and I don't, you know, they're too young or I don't want this to be the reason or you got to keep this a secret. And yet, you know, like I say, it's so difficult. Like, what do you tell children when you can't tell them the truth?
Well, I guess the when you can't tell them the truth part is the most troubling, right?
Because right, exactly. You know, because I'll tell you what really happens. I don't know if you found this, but I will tell you this. I see this, you know, a lot of our women that reported this network have had the problem of parental alienation by their children,
mm-hmm.
who blame their mothers for the split up of the marriage,
mm-hmm.
because their fathers are telling them, well, you know, it's your mother who doesn't want to be in the marriage. You know, I wouldn't have left. You know, she wanted to split it up. And yet they're not able to tell the children, like, why the marriage split up. So the children really do have, like, resentment towards their mothers. You know, there's a lot of, like, messy situations that, you know, we have in our group with this kind of situation. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've seen that, too, that, you know, you feel like you have to keep it a secret. And so, you know, you're getting blamed for something, and, you know, you can't say, well...
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the real reason. You know, in an ideal world, you know, the parents are working together to model, you know, openness and honesty and helping the kids navigate it, but honestly.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, one of the things I also see is, you know, straight spouses who are so angry and, you know, wanting the kids to take on their anger, which I think is true in any divorce, not just the straight spouse situation. But again, I mean, I think ideally the parents are working together no matter what their differences are, that they're working together in the best interest of the kids. And, you know, having secrets like that, you know, it just creates an unhealthy environment. It's not good for anybody.
Yeah, I think that's ideally. I don't see too much ideally kinds of situations right away when it comes to a gay straight marriage. And that's not to say it doesn't get better later, because I think in a lot of cases it does. I think a lot of times when these men finally are ready to leave a marriage, they feel like they've been missing out on so much living a life that wasn't theirs that they often want to make up for that lost time. And I see that happening a lot. You know, they feel like now they finally have come to terms with who they are. They've missed out on all these experiences. And it's like the whole new world has opened up to them. And I see families that were so close, all of a sudden the fathers just don't have the time. They get involved in doing their own thing. And, you know, I'm sure that happens with straight marriages too. But I find it more so with this. Have you seen that in your experience?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, like you said, it's, you know, that sort of kid in the candy store, and this whole new life, and, you know, again, in one part of our brain, we can understand that because there's been repression for so long. But, you know, leaving, it's one thing to leave the marriage. I think it's another thing to leave your children.
Right.
I do see that a lot, and it's really painful. I mean, I guess I just don't really understand how you can go from, you know, having this family to suddenly you're just living this life that no longer involves your children or just sort of minimally.
I know, and I mean, I see this a lot, and I think that you see it. I know this became somewhat of a dispute that I have with, you know, with a very nice man who I work with. He does a lot of help for me as far as men coming out. But, you know, we were having a conversation and, you know, he was, in fact, on that video with the Huffington Post. And, you know, I asked him to write something for my upcoming newsletter. And, you know, he's very clear that I'll just give you his statements, you know, ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Where he talks about, let me say, he says, out of the hundreds of gay married guys I've met in the last 20 years, every single one of them expressed love and compassion for their wife and kids. They live in constant fear that their true nature will be discovered and they will be the instrument of the destruction of the family. The dilemma is that they cannot protect the family from themselves and they cannot shield the truth. The fear of losing their children is real, and sadly it is justified. The reality is that too many fathers do lose their relationship with their children. Research on this shows that fathers who receive little or no confirmation of their roles as fathers by their former spouses appear most likely to become disengaged from their children's lives. In that research study, the fathers citing this reason spoke of their overwhelming sense of loss and depression, the pain of seeing their children only intermittently, and the fact that, you know, visitation or relationship in no sense resembled a real fatherhood and was perhaps harmful for the children as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but I don't usually see it happening that way. You know, I see it more that the mothers are having a hard time finding these fathers, you know, to take some responsibility in the upbringing of the children. You know, it's not like they're trying to keep them away from their fathers.
Yeah, I was reading a statistic recently about that, and it wasn't about you know, a gay parent, but just in divorces, that something like 60% of fathers pretty much abandon the kids. That was the word that was used in whatever I was reading. 60%, that seems, you know, just incredibly high. I don't know. I mean, I think it would be difficult, right, because you're balancing two very different lives, you know, the this gay lifestyle and being with other men and then, you know, being a dad. I would think that would be challenging. But I don't know. Maybe it's a combination.
I don't either. And, you know, of course, you know, Doug is speaking from his point of view,
mm-hmm.
and he's met the men over the, you know, for a long time that I've been sending him who are mostly guys who really want to do the right thing. But usually it's because they're at the point of their life where they've already met somebody and they're looking to move on in their lives. I've met very few men through the years, and I've met thousands who are just genuinely sorry and they wanted to do something. I mean, I've met a few.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they haven't acted on it yet, but they want to. But usually by the time a guy, you know, he wants to make sure, you know, before he's really going to break up his marriage, he wants to make sure that he's going to be comfortable or that he's met someone and he has ultimatums. I find that to be the majority of the cases. But I don't find that the women that I deal with, for the most part, I know that they're angry. And, you know, I often tell them that you can't let homosexuality be the anger point around your children. I think it's really important for the fact that you know, let's say if you have a child who's gay, they're going to grow up with the same messages that that gay husband of yours grew up with and feel there's something wrong in being gay.
Right.
And, you know, also, I just don't believe in parent bashing in general in front of children. That's why I have a support group where people can sit and bash all they want online.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have pain pals who you can do that with. But in front of the children, I think that every child is half mother, half father, and so when you're bashing that half that's the father, whether it's true or not, that child feels that part of him there's something wrong with.
Right.
Do you feel that's true as a therapist?
I do. I feel that that is true, and also that puts the child in the position of having to choose loyalties, and that's just never a good thing. So, yeah, so if you're, you know, if there's bashing going on in front of the kids, then it's like, well, how am I supposed to feel about my dad then? Is it okay that I still love him, or am I supposed to not love him and be angry? And I think that that's very confusing for kids. I mean, nothing good comes of that, absolutely.
I agree. And I know it's really hard sometimes because some of these guys are really horrible. And I'm not just saying because they're gay. I'm just saying some men in general when they have divorce. I had a father who was a sociopath, and he was straight. You know, he walked out on my mother with 5 children and literally took everything from her to see her end up homeless. So, I mean, and, you know, he plotted this out because this was his sense of, you know, fun. So, and that has nothing to do with gay anything. I mean, he was just a sociopath in general. So it can happen with men. It doesn't necessarily have to do with sexuality, but still in all, when you hear terrible things about your father, it still makes you feel bad about yourself.
Right.
And I think it lowers your sense of self-esteem.
Because he is part of you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's why I tell my women it's so important, you know, to try not let your children be your sounding board and try not to pull them. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's important to have a positive relationship if you can with two parents, regardless of anything. I know sometimes it's really difficult. And I think women have a lot of times difficulty because, once again, if their husbands are involved with another man and it's hard for them to accept it, you know, a lot of these guys walk away and they're walking into a relationship with somebody before a wife has a chance to even accept that.
Exactly.
And then they want to bring the children into that relationship. And like one young lady, I just read this and I thought it was really interesting that one of our members sent me this letter, and it was pretty sad when I read it. I'll send it to you, you know, when we're done. But I don't know if you've ever heard of this young lady. She wrote a book. Her name was Dawn Stefanovitz. Have you heard of her?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So she was writing, and somehow she grew up from the time she was maybe 12 years old with two gay parents. So I'm not comparing it exactly, you know, as being the same. And she said, like, from a young age, I was exposed to explicit sexual speech, self-indulgent lifestyles, varied gay, lesbian, bi, transgender subcultures, and gay vacation spots. Sex looked gratuitous to me as a child. I was exposed to all-inclusive manifestations of sexuality, including bathhouse sex, cross-dressing, pornography, gay nudity, bisexuality, voyeurism, exhibitionism. You know, she was talking about all of these things that, you know, she saw with her father when she was growing up with him. My father prized unisex dressing, gender-natural aspects, and famous cross-dressing icon when I was still 8 years old. I did not see the value of biological complementing differences of male and female or think about marriage. I made vows to never have children since I did not grow up in a safe, sacrificial, child-centered home environment. Due to my experience, I ask, can children really perform their best academically, financially, psychologically, socially, and behaviorally in these situations? And I can tell you that I suffered long-term and the situation has been professionally documented. So she's going on talking about, you know, situations that she was placed into, you know, and having no choices in it. And I think that is a concern of many of our wives, that, you know, they can certainly accept that their husbands are gay and that they're doing things in their own lives, but is it necessarily right for the children to be put into a situation that they don't want to be in?
Right, and being exposed to, I mean, even if it was, you know, leaving for another heterosexual relationship, being exposed to parents' sexuality and sexual activity, regardless of who they're doing it with, is inappropriate and just, you know, really poor boundaries. Where was her other parent? I mean, she was...
That I didn't find out yet.
Yeah, goodness.
But, you know, she goes into a lot of details, and I think to myself that, you know, like you say, you're right. This could happen, of course, with a straight parent, too. But with men who are newly out into a community that they've been feeling hindered from, like you say, the kid in the candy store mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about my own children and things that they found, you know, when they were growing up, things that I felt were inappropriate, you know, that I had to explain away somehow or come up with explanations for.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just, you know, really have to do a lot of deep thinking about this information. You know, I think a lot of times we try not to think about these things because they're just really unpleasant for us to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And about what kind of, you know, long-term implications they're going to have on our kids. So, I mean, these are a lot of things that, you know, like I say, we try to maybe not think about because they are unpleasant. But then when I read a letter like that, it's like really kind of heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. It's just, I mean, it's just hard to comprehend, you know, a parent putting his child in that position. And I mean, it just sounds like so extreme what she was exposed to. I mean, just like every, you know, everything that she could be exposed to, she was exposed to.
Well, I guess it's kind of like many years ago when I started running my support group. I'm going back to the 1980s. And I became very close friends with this really nice guy, and he was, you know, an ex-husband, and he had a son who was 16 years old, and they had a really positive relationship, you know, really good, solid relationship, even though they didn't live together. You know, he was a regular visitor, and one evening they came over to my house. You know, I invited them for dinner, you know, and we were talking, and I don't know, the father took the son everywhere, including, like, to gay pride parades, you know, with his partner. He had been in a relationship with a partner for a while. It wasn't, like, an unstable relationship at all. And the son, you know, really accepted the partner. He felt comfortable. There was no discomfort there. But he did say to his father, his father said, well, my son enjoys doing these things. And he said, Dad, I do them because you asked me to do them, but I don't enjoy them. And he said, I don't feel comfortable there. He said, you know, it's a gay pride parade. Now, he said, if you want to feel pride and you feel that it's good, that's fine. He said, but I'm not gay. And he said, and I don't feel comfortable going to these gay, you know, events. And I think that, you know, he was really, you know, the father was really surprised. I mean, you know, he said, I never knew you felt that way. And he said, well, you never really asked. I didn't want to hurt your feelings, so I just kind of go along with it. But I think that there are issues where kids may not feel comfortable in some situations, and that we just expect that, you know, because it's politically correct, that we can't say anything.
And
or when
adapt.
And, yeah, I think that people need time to adapt, and I think there's a comfort level where they may not adapt to. And if they don't, then you have to accept that also. I think you have to do really what's in the best interest of the child. You know, I'm not saying that you have to live your life by your children, but I do say that you have to, you know, put their feelings into consideration. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And certainly, you know, different, you know, age groups also. I mean, being 16, you know, that is such a difficult age in terms of coming, you know, the kid being adolescent, coming to terms with sort of his own self as a sexual being. So it may be one thing to take him to, you know, things when he's 5, but at 16, you know, I think that conversation was a really healthy one to find out that actually, no, I'm not comfortable doing it at this point. There's a group that, I think it's a relatively new organization, and I talked with one of the founders of it recently. It's called the Gay Dad Project, and I'm really interested in finding out more about what they're doing. You know, what I would love to create is just sort of, you know, sort of bringing our conversation, I guess, full circle, is creating sort of healing bridges between all these different groups. You know, gay dads and straight spouses and kids. I mean, that's where I think there's a need, that there needs to be more of a national conversation about how all those groups relate to one another, how they connect, how they don't connect. That's why I think maybe we don't get heard as straights, because we come across as just angry women. And, you know, maybe if we were having the conversation, you know, with gay dads, you know, not in a venue that was about debating and whose side is right, but coming together, that's one of the things that I look forward to helping to create.
And I think that's a great point of view. I looked into the group that you're mentioning, you know, as soon as you hadn't told me about it. And I think it was a little bit different than, you know, the experiences of the young people I'm working with right now, because I have a group for adult children of gay fathers. And it's, you know, theirs was like, you know, pro-gay, all rah-rah, which is good. You know, it's like for gay rights or their dads and stuff. I'm finding that a lot of these young adults are really suffering when coming from a straight gay marriage. It's a little bit different with the issues that they're dealing with. And I think that this is one thing that this year I was so fortunate to be able to start this group, because I've learned so much from them as far as what they're experiencing coming out of these marriages and how it's affecting them in their own personal relationships. And how living through these marriages really took its toll on their feelings of self-worth, of self-esteem, of being secret keepers, of having to choose sides, of not having trust in their own relationships when they're moving ahead, of suspecting, will they ever find someone who can be loyal to them, or are they telling them the truth, all kinds of sexual issues also come up. So I think that, you know, there's a lot that needs to be done in this field. You know,
yeah.
Certainly, you know, I'm just running a little support group, but somebody really needs to take hold of this. And just like it affects the, you know, woman as far as her sense of who she is and her self-esteem and sexual esteem and how to rebuild all of that, I think that our children, you know, have really been overlooked in this whole matter.
And what are your, you know, I know it's a relatively new group, but what are your takeaways so far? Like if you were going to speak to, you know, the straight spouse or the gay dad, what are your takeaways?
I think that we have to first recognize that our children have been damaged through these marriages. And I think the reason is because the women themselves, you know, have been trying so hard just to keep this marriage together. And they've lost sense of who they are, that often the children have become the role of the parent
mm-hmm.
instead of the child. And they feel like this need to take care of their mothers and to protect them, as opposed to just being innocent children growing up in a nice household. You know, they see the problems that are going on that many times they know before their mothers know. I think just about everybody in my group knew before their mothers knew. And they knew that their fathers, you know, from their computer activity. Kids are really sophisticated today. You know, they're curious, they look, and they know.
Right.
So it really has put them in a really bad spot of knowing what to do with this information, or when the father can't be honest, or when he's blaming the mother, you know, for doing things wrong, when the mother's really trying her best to be the best wife possible, but the father's just not happy because he's living in a straight marriage when he doesn't belong there. So I think it's, like, skewed their perceptions of what relationships should be in a loving, caring, trusting relationship, because they don't, for the most part, have any kind of role modeling as far as a positive relationship. That's not to say they don't have a good mother or a good father, but it's just to say that the marriage wasn't good. So they don't know the road ahead, what their marriages should look like. You know, it's just like when you don't have positive parenting, how do you become a positive parent?
Right.
You know, we often repeat the patterns of what we've grown up with. You know, it's learned behavior. So I think that so many of our women really do lose who they are, that they can't find themselves in these marriages because they're so beaten down. And that's the imagery that the children grow up with. I mean, no matter how wonderful a mother you're trying to be, you're still not yourself.
Yeah.
Your
and
children
so a lot
don't
of these,
really get to know yourself.
And they, the kids move into then sort of a surrogate spouse, surrogate parent role. They're helping. They're in a more caretaking role of the mother versus being kids.
And also a protectorate role, because when they find out and they don't know what to do with that information, they feel they have to protect their mothers. And should they tell their mothers? And if they do, will it break up the marriage? Are they going to be responsible for breaking up the marriage? You know, there's a lot of these things that I think we've just slid over or don't even look at.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
we expect that our children should be emotionally and mentally healthy when they go into their own future relationships, and they're not. You know, they're struggling because they don't know, you know, what to believe in anymore. They've lost sight of what reality is in a relationship. So those are issues that I don't hear really anybody talking about. I mean, I'm talking about them, but
yeah.
I don't think other people are really dealing with this. You know, we're really worried about the straight spouse, and deservingly so. That's where my loyalty is. And the gay husbands are concerned with the gay husbands, and the kids who are putting up that gay dad thing, you know, rah-rah for gay rights. But what about the emotional impact that these kids are going through and how it's going to affect their relationships when, you know, they're older?
Yeah, so the fallout.
The fallout, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's something that really needs to be explored more, and that, you know, our lives will go on one way or the other, but it's the future generations that we really have to worry about and how it's going to affect the happiness of our kids. I think that, you know, on Mother's Day, my message is that, you know, our mothers are loving, caring, wonderful women who are doing everything they possibly can to try to, you know, compensate with their children to make up for the fact that they don't have a whole marriage or a wholesome marriage or a marriage that's, you know, the kind of marriage that you would hope to have. So I think that these mothers, just like they overcompensate as wives, they overcompensate as mothers in trying to do two roles or three roles or whatever it takes. But on the other hand, you know, I think that sometimes we gloss over what the real issues are. And that's why I've had, you know, constantly encouraging people to tell their children, you need to get help and support, even though the children are saying, no, I don't need any, because they don't want to deal with it.
Right.
They want,
yeah,
they don't want to
exactly
have to accept
right.
it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know, one of the things I've gotten involved in recently is collaborative divorce training. And one of the pieces I really like about that is making sure that the kids have, you know, are assessed by a child specialist to see, you know, how are you really doing? And I just think that is key, you know, and in this situation in particular, you know, the kids oftentimes don't necessarily show their distress. And they don't want to be another burden, or they think they can handle it, or whatever. But
uh-huh.
I think making sure that kids are at least eyeballed by a professional to see how they are doing, what they're experiencing, what their beliefs are around all this, is really important.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really glad that you started up the group that you did. Is it face to face or is it an online?
No, it's
group?
Online. We have our
is
weekly
it?
Support chats, and also there's a Yahoo group, posting group for, you know, some people who don't want to come to the chats. But, you know, I have a wonderful young man, Jason, who's leading the runoff on this. And he also has, like I say, a Yahoo page for posting.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our support chat, which is strictly all, you know, children. And I'm the only one who's not one of the children who comes. And you know, each week we sit and discuss all these issues, and it's just we're supportive to each other. You know, I try to give some insight. They give me insight of what they're going through. And I think just finding others who can understand exactly what they're feeling has been so helpful for them.
Yeah.
That, you know, they felt so isolated that, you know, this is something just like we feel we need support as wives. You know, they just can't go out and telling all their friends. And even if they tell their friends, you know, they're not getting the same kind of understanding as they are, as if they're part of a support network of people who understand.
Exactly, exactly.
So I strongly encourage parents, if you have children 18 and over, you know, could be up, I have one young lady there who's 40, you know, it doesn't matter, she's still the child of a gay man, an adult
and,
child, so
yeah,
she's
and
still having issues.
By that. Yeah.
Absolutely, so feel free to let me know, I'm more than happy to do that. So I just want to thank Kim for coming so much, Kim. You're just a wonderful guest, a wonderful therapist. And I want to let people know how to get in touch with you. First, you can always go to mygayhusbands.com website. On the right-hand side, you'll see a link to Kim. But also, I want to give you Kim's website, because Kim does counseling by phone, by Skype, in person, of course,
Of course.
If you're in the Virginia area. Would you say Washington, Virginia?
Yeah, I'm in
Maryland,
Virginia. Yeah, so it's right outside of Washington, D.C. And one of the things I've been started doing, and actually thanks to you, is coaching via FaceTime and Skype. And that, I think, is going to be really helpful. And so I'm excited about the possibilities of being able to work with women, you know, everywhere.
I know. I think it's really wonderful, and that, you know, you can stay in the comfort of your own home and still get therapy
mm-hmm.
and do it either by phone or by Skyping and really move ahead in your life with somebody who can understand you and who has the kind of experience you need to make a move. You know, like I said earlier with Kim, a lot of times we get stuck, but that's the whole purpose of a therapist, to help you get unstuck, to unstick yourself. To move ahead, for lack of anything else. But I do want to give your website in case people don't want to just jump on my website. So what's the best? I see you have some blogs and websites. What's the best way to get you?
Yeah, my website is KimberlyBrooksLPC.com.
Okay, so it's Kimberly, KimberlyBrooks, L like in Lance. P like
mm-hmm.
in Peter, C like in Charles.com.
.com.
And if you have any problem hooking up with her at all, just let me know at bonk@aol.com. And Kim, thank you for being really a wonderful guest, and I hope that you'll be with us soon again.
Thank you, Bonnie. I really enjoyed it, and hopefully we'll talk again real soon.
All right, and happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers who are listening. Have a wonderful week, and we'll be back here again with you next week on the Straight Wives Talk Show. Good night, everyone. Good night, Kim.
Good night.
Bye-bye.